Welcome to episode number 35 of the Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. Today we are going to be talking about the pancreas and the endocrine system, on being the buffalo, and negative and positive feedback.
Good night or good day, depending on what time you listen to this. It's kind of in between for me because it's 6:05 as I record this. I actually spent the day out on a boat. Well, not the whole day, just the morning. Excuse me. I spent the morning out learning how to scuba dive. And what was really interesting was as I was watching Kaplan Physio review videos, they happened to lecture on the effect of bends. So I think that might have to be an upcoming episode here sometime in the near future. I don't have it ready for today, though, so you'll just have to put up with the pancreas endocrine. And endocrine is actually going to be the order of the day. Endocrine system is kind of wild. I don't know how much you know about it, but I think you're going to learn quite a bit just in this episode. So the pancreas have what we call islets of Langerhans, which does the endocrine part, because the pancreas is super cool, right? It's actually an endocrine and an exocrine gland. So it means endocrine is that it has like a hormonal effect. Exocrine, you can kind of think of having, you know, it's that actually what it technically is that it sends enzymes out into like a tube or into a space, because a lot of our digestive juices come from the exocrine. But we're going to be talking about endocrine. So they have the islets of Langerhans, which I already started to say, which does the endocrine part. The other cells do the exocrine. But what's really cool is, you know, we all know that where our insulin and our glucagon comes from, which is incredibly important, but only 2% of the mass of the pancreas, which is only is that endocrine part, that those islets of Langerhans. That's only about, but that makes a million islets, but only about 2% of the mass comes from it. We have four types of cells that have been identified in the islets, and each secrete essentially one hormone. The alpha cells secrete glucagon, which increases blood sugar. Beta cells, which secretes insulin. I think most of us know that one because that lowers blood sugar. And then there's also delta cells. Delta cells secrete somatostatin, which inhibits alpha and beta cells. So it works to stop the glucagon and the insulin from flowing. What's kind of wild, though, is that the delta cells don't actually inhibit the alpha and beta cells of their own islet. It secretes two islets around it to inhibit alpha and beta cells from there. And then the last cell type is the F cell, which is a pancreatic polypeptide. And what does it do? Me to know. Actually, no one really knows. We have some ideas, like maybe it has something to do with gastric secretion. Maybe it has something to do with pancreatic exocrine control. We're thinking it has more to do with the exocrine part than the endocrine part, but we're really not sure. Obviously, diabetes is the clinical correlate tie-in here. We have type 1 usually being of childhood or adolescence, and that's a loss of endocrine cells in the pancreatic islets, and it's thought to be an abnormal autoimmune response, and it could actually be linked to a sequelae or like a result of a viral infection, but we're really not sure. And then we have type 2, which begins late in adult life, and what happens there is essentially it's the result of resistance to the effect of insulin. So the body still makes insulin, but the cells just don't really care anymore. It doesn't recognize it. It doesn't have enough receptors. You know, we're still kind of working out exactly what happens. But what's really important to note with type 2, and a lot of this is genetic, but that may be the tie-in to obesity, that the quality of food that you eat, you know, you eat a lot of carbs, you eat a lot of sugars, all that kind of thing, stuff that raises your insulin. And when you have your insulin up all the time, eventually those cells are going to get used to it, and it's not going to be the same anymore. It's almost like drugs. So, you know, maybe a bump of cocaine is enough to get the desired effect, but you do a bump of cocaine regularly enough and that bump isn't doing what you need it to anymore because you're getting used to it. So then you go to doing a line and then a couple lines, but you have to constantly add more in order to get the same desired effect. I think of it with myself with, I'm a little bit of an adrenaline junkie. I've slowed myself down now, not so much anymore. But when I was young, I would do a lot of really stupid things to get that adrenaline rush. And eventually got to a point where I would have to do a little bit crazier and a little bit crazier just to feel that same sort of rush, you know? I'm still adventurous. I'm still doing fun stuff like scuba diving, snorkeling. We're actually planning on going skydiving when I get back next year. Just so you know, I'm not boring. However, that is the pancreas endocrine. And actually, in the second half here, we're going to talk more about endocrinology in general. So make sure to stick around for that after Jen.
Make sure you check us out on artofmedschool.com. We have a ton of more information, blog posts, any of our past episodes that you might have missed, as well as some really fun underwater photography that Mike has been working on. There's some cute photos of fish. So check us out on artofmedschool.com. All right, so I'm going to be bringing it down for a minute on being the buffalo. So, I don't know if anybody else knows this story, but Mike and I use this as kind of our family motto. So a buffalo on the prairie sees a storm coming. And unlike most animals will hunker down to weather the storm, or some will run away, some will find, but most will find shelter or hunker down. A buffalo doesn't. A buffalo runs directly into the storm because they know that if you run directly into the storm, that's how you get through the storm the fastest. And I find this to be a very inspiring idea, to the extent that I have a buffalo tattooed on my foot in order to walk like the buffalo, to walk forward in the face of adversity and all of these things, to stride boldly into the things that I see as being potential storms in life. And Micah actually has the same. It's a different style of buffalo, but he has a buffalo indeed. So how does this pertain to med school and specifically Caribbean med school? So this journey in taking a Caribbean med school is not going to be easy. And if you're choosing the Caribbean med school route, it's going to be even harder. Sure, there's the benefits of having cheaper tuition and faster going through class time, less requirements, all of these things. We know these things, right? These are why we're looking into these Caribbean med schools. But it all comes at a price. With those benefits come sacrifices. And those sacrifices are already putting roadblocks up in front of you for a journey that many people don't even complete in the first place, even when they have the benefits of Amazon Prime and reliable vehicles and the ability to quickly make phone calls and navigate any of these social systems. You're not going to have that. You are going to have to be like the buffalo. And no, you don't get to hunker down. You don't get to just focus on your thing. You need to run into this storm hard. And you need to run into this storm fast. And you need to do it bolder than you've ever done anything before. Don't you dare think that you're taking the easy way out by going this route. it's going to be harder. And Micah knows this, and I am just so incredibly proud of how he is able to do this on the regular. So be the buffalo. We launched our Patreon account. Please go check it out. You can find a link on our website or just look up Art of Med School on patreon.com. This is a great way to support us as we work hard to make the most and best content possible. You can find more information on our homepage at artofmedschool.com. And every little bit helps. Thanks.
So, kind of a two-parter, like I had said before. What happened that gave me this idea was, I'm currently a physiology TA, and I gave a lecture this week, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to discuss what I went over in my lecture. It happened to be endocrinology, because that's what they're studying right now. I am going to skip a few things because they're just not that important, or they're really detailed. The thing about learning physiology that's kind of different than a lot of the other subjects that we study in med school is you don't really memorize as much. Like, memorization is still a big part of it, just remembering, you know, which hormones are with what and what effect they have. But it is so important to understand concepts, because they're going to be throwing stuff at you that you probably don't know. But if you understand the concept of what's going on, you can reason that out for pretty reasonably. So the big thing that we were talking about, and we've talked about it here, is negative and positive feedback. And so what that is essentially how the hormones regulate the body. Actually, it's how a lot of things regulate the body, all work within this idea of negative and positive feedback. So if we want something to sort of escalate out of control, we use positive feedback. And the example for that would be oxytocin. So oxytocin is this hormone that's released, specifically in labor, and it causes the uterus to contract. So what stimulates oxytocin to release? The uterus contracting. Uterus contracting causes oxytocin to secrete. Oxytocin secreting causes the uterus to contract, and on we go and we go, and until the baby pops out, and then we're done. And then the system essentially resets itself after that. So that's positive feedback. Another really important concept is negative feedback. And oddly enough, I used thyroid hormone to illustrate this because for some reason it's the example we always use. And then I happened to be doing a case file in class the next day that was on hypothyroidism. So thyroid hormone is T3, T4. So T3 and T4 are released by the thyroid to go do all the stuff they do. We won't get into that part yet. What stimulates T3, T4 to be released is TSH, thyroid-stimulating hormone. So thyroid-stimulating hormone gets secreted, and then T3, T4 secrete. But what stops thyroid-stimulating hormone from secreting too much? It's the presence of T3, T4. So the more thyroid-stimulating hormone secretes, the more T3, T4 is released, the more T3, T4 is released, the more inhibited TSH is. So it's going to have a negative effect on itself so that we don't spiral out of control. So the reason this is important, or the way this comes up, is if we have a patient with hypothyroidism, not enough thyroid hormones going out there, right? Not enough T3, T4. T3, T4 is low, but what is causing that? Well, we look at TSH, thyroid-stimulating hormone. So if T3, T4 is low, then thyroid-stimulating hormone is high, right? Because it's that inverse effect. So if that's the problem, then we know that there's something wrong with the thyroid, that it's not releasing enough. If T3, T4 could be low because we have a problem with pituitary gland that it's not releasing TSH. So it gives us an idea of where that problem is just by checking hormone levels. So let me say that again, because I want to make sure that that's clear, because it's a really important concept. TSH causes T3, T4 to be released. TSH is inhibited by the presence of T3 and T4. So let's pretend like we don't have enough T3, T4. The question then is do we not have enough of it because it's not being stimulated, or because something is wrong with the thyroid gland? We can check that by checking TSH. If TSH is high in the presence of T3, T4, it's what it's supposed to be doing. It's working right? So the pituitary gland is working. The feedback cycle is working. There's just something happening with the thyroid that it's not kicking out the T3, T4. Conversely, we could have low T3, T4. Thyroid's not kicking out what it's supposed to. And then still have low TSH. And that means that we have something going on in the pituitary gland that needs to be fixed. So that's the general concept of negative and positive feedback. Man, that is so important that we understand that, because that is essentially how the entire body regulates itself, is all with this concept of negative and positive feedback. This applies to endocrinology. This can apply to nerves, all sorts of stuff, baroreceptors, chemoreceptors, you name it. It's probably going to be negative or positive feedback.
All right, there you have it. That was episode number 35 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. Today we talked about the pancreas and the endocrine system, on being the buffalo, and negative and positive feedback. Our theme music, Urbanimatronica Wuya Mix by Spinning Mercata, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way by St. James School of Medicine. Micah just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.